B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show. 4 o'clock hour, it's brought to us by Landon's Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landonsbc.com. We're kind of plugged in mentally to baseball because today would have been opening day. There is no baseball to talk about, which is problematic for a lot of us, including our next guest, who joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, the play-by-play voice of the Phillies on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tom McCarthy. T-Mac, how's life for you these days?
Michael, it's kind of like everybody else. I mean, trying to keep busy as best as possible, trying to, keep the kids entertained, although they're older, so it's a little easier. Just trying to pass some time more than anything else and do some things around the house more than anything.
This spring training came to such an abrupt end. What was your reaction when all this hit?
It's funny. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I was getting ready for the Atlantic 10 semifinals, which I was doing on television. So I was sitting in my condo one day in Florida watching the Big 10 tournament and then the A-10 on the TV. Big 10 on my computer, A-10 on the TV. And all of a sudden, Dave Revson from the Big 10 Network says, "We've got breaking news. The Big 10 tournament has been canceled." And then all of a sudden, you watch the snowball, go around around the sports world, and everything start to be canceled, rightfully so, as we all found out. And then a day later, I wound up being at the complex just to drop my stuff off because they're sending stuff home in a truck. And it was so eerily quiet at the complex. It was weird because, you're going in to do a game and there's no game to do. The only thing that you hear are the sprinklers on the backfield. That's it. There's nothing going on. So like everybody else, it was kind of hard to consume. And I stayed in Florida for 3 or 4 extra days because my son was still playing over on the East Coast in his independent league spring training. So I was waiting for him before I decided what we were going to do, and we eventually, came home. So it was abrupt, and it was, it was eerie, to be honest with you, being at the complex.
And this, listen, you're conditioned to be working right this time of year. Not only it started baseball season, the NCAA tournament. So you're a man on an island right now. I can't imagine what that feels like to go from like that, such a busy schedule to nothing.
Yeah, I I've tried to keep busy. I mean, I don't like to sit around. I've truly tried to keep busy. I mean, it sounds strange. I built a field hockey cage for my daughter so she can practice here at home. I built a batting cage for my son. And been doing a lot of stuff around the house just to kind of keep busy. It was raining yesterday. I was like, man, there's not much to do inside. I'd rather be outside, obviously, like everybody else. And, just keeping in tune with what's going on in the news. I mean, I've watched so much news like everybody else. And I've watched some old games on YouTube and things like that just to kind of have background noise while I'm doing stuff. And that's been kind of, it's been weird. It's been kind of weird just to be part of all that.
So what are you MacGyver building stuff? Like what? I didn't know you had those skills.
I honestly have very little skills, but I can watch YouTube and I can read and kind of figure it out. I got to tell you, the field hockey cage she's already broken a couple of posts. So I've already fixed those. I can't tell you that it's perfect, but at least she can get her stuff in if she wants to get her stuff.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I wish I had that kind of craft handy, brain. I don't, unfortunately. So I don't know if you've seen these people that do play-by-play are producing these videos where they're doing play-by-play of real life.
Yeah.
You've been tempted to do that?
It's funny. We met the other day. We had a conference call the other day about what we can do to kind of keep busy and keep everybody engaged on social media. And we came up with all these different ideas, that we're probably going to try in the next couple weeks. I can't think Murph actually said we should do some play by play of different things going on. I think I did one just jokingly with my kids the one day when I was out in the front yard and then I sat there and said, okay, I got to stop this. This is kind of silly right now. But some of it's been funny. I mean, some of it, but the Jim Nance one was really good. The Joe Buck one was really good.
Yeah, now Buck is actually doing these for a charitable donation, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and I like the one part where he said, you know, if you want me to make it a little not G-rated, you know, we can talk about that too, because I think he wants to do that also.
That's awesome. All right, so let's pick off where we left off here with pick up where we left off in spring training. We were actually supposed to come down there that weekend when it all broke. And so we didn't really get an eyeball look at what you did early on. What did you see early on? It's a shame because there's so much more that had to develop with this team, especially bullpen-wise. But what did you see?
Yeah, I actually saw a real buttoned-up spring training when it came to the fundamentals. You know, I think the last 5 years or so that we've listened to everybody talk about fundamentals, how important it was to make sure that fundamentals, you know, were you know, what he were adhered to. And I thought we saw that. The other thing, I mean, it's buttoned up, but I got to tell you, it was relaxed. It was, and I know, you know, people always say, well, you know, spring training records don't matter, but it's better to win 12 than lose 12. But it was so relaxed and controlled in a good way.
So that was different under Girardi than it was under Gabe, obviously.
I think so. I mean, there's nothing, listen, Gabe had a lot of other ways to do things, but I think there was just a control that it's hard to explain, Mike. I mean, but it just seemed like everything was under control. I think the other part of it too is that I loved the sixth inning interviews that we did with Joe during mm-hmm. these home games.
Yeah,
like he would just sit there and he'd start calling things. Oh, look at that ball up the middle. Look at that play. Wow, what a curveball! That, you know, stuff uh-huh. like that. I just thought that was cool. I mean, I think that, you know, I just thought that a lot of that was really cool. And I felt good about the way things were going. I mean, obviously, the games didn't technically matter, of course. But I did feel like we were, that they were moving in the right direction.
We're talking to Tom McCarthy. Tom, I'm normally ambivalent about how many games a new manager can win. And Girardi obviously is a successful manager. But there are a lot of people that believe that his presence can make this team better, and frankly, I see a lot of holes in this team. But first of all, what is your opinion on that? And then we'll get into what I think the holes are.
Well, I do think that I'm with you on that. I do think that there's questions that have to be answered. I mean, obviously the bullpen, there's a lot of pieces there, but Sir Anthony's injury, you know, you can't underscore that. That's significant, and I think it just adds to the wonderment of how the bullpen is going to be, particularly when you have to face three hitters. And I think the back end of the rotation still had some questions that needed to be answered too. And I don't think that's a far stretch for anybody to say. I really, you know, felt like that was part of it as well. Offensively, you know, there's noticeable question marks. The injury to McCutchen, you know, who's going to play center field on an everyday basis? Is it going to be a platoon for Adam Haseley and for Roman Quinn? You know, that's a question too. But I still thought there were things that were moving in the right direction. I think there were pieces that could help answer those questions, but realistically, they had to prove themselves in order for this team to be successful.
All right, so let's just look at a couple things here. First of all, the pitching, there's nothing we can do about it, right? They're counting on Arrieta at 3, they're counting on Eflin 4, and I don't know who they were counting on at 5. That was to be determined. The bullpen is severely limited at this point. So, like, where do you see where they can get any pitching improvement from last year?
Well, I think that, I mean, my thought is, and this is just me thinking, that if you're going to move Ranger Suarez into the rotation, which conceivably could happen, you know, he's a little different, or he's a lot different than everybody else because he's a lefty, he's got different stuff, then, you know, you can plug Liriano into that spot. And I think Liriano looked really good during spring training. He's an older guy. He has an understanding of what to do when it comes to facing the three hitters. And I think that he would prefer to be in the bullpen than be in the rotation. And that's basically what he did for the entire spring. So you have him, Alvarez, and then hopefully a healthy Adam Morgan. So that's part of it. You know, Neris was going to be the closer. And obviously there were still some questions for the other pieces that were going to go in there, but I still thought that, you know, that there was parts in there that you could use that could help, you know, possibly, solidify things as the season moved on.
All right. Let's look now at the offensive production. And the key for me, and there are two guys that really didn't look that great in spring training, and they're both being counted on, but nobody being counted on more than Rhys Hoskins. What did you see with him? And then, you know, under the radar, not having a very good spring hitting wise was Scott Kingery. So what did you see with both those guys?
Well, I actually felt like Scott, I do think Scott was going to be fine. Now, maybe that's a bad assumption on my part to just assume that he's going to be fine, but I really did think he was going to be fine. I wasn't really worried about him. I liked the fact that he was going to settle in at second base. At least that's what I think, where I think he's going to settle in. And I think Rhys continued to be sort of a work in progress with what, with the approach that he had. Now, I will say that despite the fact that the numbers probably weren't what he wanted them to be, I'm optimistic, obviously, that he is going to be able to fix whatever it was in the second half of last year. You know, part of that is that I do like the new coaches. I like Brian Price. I like Dylan. I like the fact that they're implementing certain things that I think can help him. But I'm with you. I think that it's a big question mark. I mean, he obviously, you know, he's a big piece in that middle of the order that he has to perform in order for this team to be successful.
All right, let's, on a personal note, your son was recently signed by the Braves, right?
So he was signed, but then it fell through the next day. It's kind of an oddity, to be quite honest with you, but he was signed, but it fell through the next day.
So he's playing in an independent league.
So he'll go back to the independent league. He'll be back in Gary, Indiana, yeah.
All right, so is he home with you now? And
he's home with me. We just finished hitting about 15 minutes ago. So he's home now. You know, we're fortunate enough that we have enough room in our yard where we can fit the cage, where he can hit. And, you know, he's
all right, now, is he hitting off a tee? Do you have a pitching machine, or are you getting in there?
Well, he's got a tee. He does the whole thing on a tee. Then we do a little front toss, and then I throw.
Okay.
I don't go 60 feet, 6 inches. I mean, I'm, you know.
Yeah, you loop it around the cage and he whacks.
Right? I'm on the open part of the L screen, but I'm probably about 45 feet away, and I try to throw as hard as I can. But there's not much left in the elbow or the shoulder. I mean, I've thrown so much BP over my time that there's not much left there.
Well, listen, keep it going. I got to tell you, I made an observation last year, and I'm going to miss this. And a lot of people have brought this up to me that I'm going to miss you doing this. But I made an observation that you really liked saying the name Cesar. Like that was your go-to. I noticed that you never said Hernandez. You would go last name on almost everybody else, but it was always Cesar. And my theory is you really liked saying it.
I got to tell you, until you just said that, Mike, I had no idea that I did that.
I've been talking about it all last year.
I do like saying Cesar, and in fact, I watched the replay of the Harper Grand Slam game today.
Yeah,
and obviously he's up, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to miss seeing Cesar.
There you go.
I said it three times.
It rolled Cesar. Off your tongue. Cesar. Like you would go.
I literally said it three times. I'm in my truck, and I'm like, Cesar.
See, that's awesome Cesar. Because I would hear you say Segura, and I would hear you call Real Muto, something, but it was always Cesar.
That's really funny. That's really funny. I have, you know, there's certain things that you do. You know this. I mean, there's certain things that you do on a daily basis that you have no idea you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the Latino name. So I like the Cesar.
Well,
I was going to say sorry, and I would go Cesito a lot.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I don't think we say them right, to be honest with you. I mean, we don't. I mean,
What Ben was saying Caesar when you were going Cesar right next to you.
Well, it's tough to always correct people, but when I hear people saying things a certain way, I'll say it again just so maybe that they hear it the right way.
All right, listen, man. Good luck to you. We're all in the same condition, but you more than anybody. This is your livelihood, and it can't be fun right now not being able to do it. So hang in there and keep that arm loose.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, Tom McCarthy on the Comcast Business Hotline. Yeah, I'm going to miss the Cesar. I can't lie.
You won't. Nah.
Yeah. Are you going to miss it, Mike?
I'm going to miss the Cesar.
I don't know.
Oh, I won't see him no more.
Yeah, he's not going to knock on him.
Yeah, I guess I won't miss it.
Well, it'll be some jetpacks.
No, he won't go jetpacks.
He will if he has a good year.
He'll go Scotty. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say jetpacks. Have you heard him call him jetpacks? Scotty.
When he hit a home run, it was jetpacks.
Yeah, he goes Scotty.
All right.
Gene, you know, it's funny because Gene is a little more awkward to say than Segura.
Yeah.
Like, I rarely hear him say Gene.
Gene's not a...
You can't go Gene, but you can go Cesar.
Yeah.
And you can go JT. Yeah, that rolls off.
He usually goes Bryce.
Yes.
He doesn't do Harper. It's Bryce.
Yeah. But Harper's unintrusive. Yeah. So you can go Harper.
Yeah, you can go Harper. I'm saying he usually goes Bryce. He doesn't usually go Harper.
Yeah.
Except when he's in a slump. Harper, 2 for his last 12, is not Bryce. That's the stuff you notice when you watch 162 games.
Exactly.
You notice little stuff.
I notice stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
Unfairly, probably. 610-632-0975. Oh, look at our next caller. This is the man. Listen, I felt bad about this last night.
You did?
I did. I felt bad because I called him. I said it was the stupidest call, the dumbest call I've ever received. I shouldn't have said the dumbest because no call is dumb.
Right.
Some are more ridiculous than others. And so I will change that from dumb to ridiculous after Jeff from Camden yesterday said that Shake Milton was better than Ben Simmons. So Jeff wants to clear this up. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff. Hello, Jeff. Oh, no, he's not there. He was hanging on for a long time. He wanted to make things right after what he said was a dumb call yesterday. And he couldn't hang on enough. All right,
Jeff.
Call back later whenever it's convenient for you because I want to hear whether you've had a come to Jesus moment here on the Shake Milton Ben Simmons thing. Let's go to Mo in Philadelphia. Mo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mo,
Mike, I'm gonna keep this short and simple. I've been screaming Grant Delpit for the longest, man, and I don't hear nobody talking about Grant Delpit. I just want your opinion.
Well, they're not gonna do that now.
Why not?
Because they just moved Jalen Mills over and they signed another safety.
Man, Jalen Mills is not even cut like that.
Yeah, but listen, I get it. Dump is a good prospect. I don't know if they were going to go safety in the first round.
Great, we could get a receiver anywhere in the draft, especially the kid from SMU. I'm high on him. I think his name is like John Poach or something like that.
Yeah, they're not going to get a safety now, bro. They signed a guy. They signed the local kid from Denver as a backup safety, and they moved Jalen Mills. They have three safeties now.
All that is good, right? But don't get a receiver in the first round. Just go get Grant Delpit. Do whatever they got
to
do.
But, bro, are you listening to the words coming out of my mouth here? They don't need a safety now. They don't have any room. They don't have any room for safety. They stocked up at safety now. They signed McLeod. They moved Mills over. They signed two other guys.
I'm trying to play the game, Mike. I'm trying to play the game.
All right, Mo, here we go. We're in the dramas now, okay?
All right.
It is the number one seed, The Wire, versus Hill Street Blues.
Wow. I had to give it to The Wire.
All right. You got it. So, wait, he just called with nonsense just to play the game?
Well, I guess he thought that you would be a little bit more open to Grant Delpit, who
like Grant Delpit.
He's a good player. If they had more than one first-round pick and you had a receiver and Delpit, great.
Like, yeah, I know. I like Grant Delpit, but the receiver is more of the priority there.
Right. He's backed himself in a corner where he has coverage at safety.
Yes.
Even for an injury, when you have the extra receiver, you got, what do you have?
Yeah, no, it's not like I don't like him. I knew he was going to be there available to him. And had they gone signed free agent wide receiver, then maybe he would have been in play there. And, you know, they wouldn't have had to move Mills over.
Right. If you got Robbie Anderson and you think that he's good enough with a second round receiver, for example, the kid from Penn State, let's say. Let's say you thought that was good enough. By all means, take him in the first round.
Yes.
But they didn't do that.
No. So they signed Parks, right?
Yeah.
And the kid from the Rams is a safety.
No, he's a corner. Slot corner, yeah. Very good. One of the highest ranked slot corners.
Who else did they bring in at safety? They brought another guy in, I thought.
Well, he's a linebacker safety hybrid, the guy from the from the Broncos.
Okay. All right. A couple open lines. This is a good time to get in. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Todd on a cell. What's up, Todd?
Man, what's going on, brother?
How are you, Todd?
I'm hanging tough, Mike. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Good, good. All right, now listen. I heard you do the old Willie Mays story on the radio about Willie.
Yes.
Okay, I got one. You remember a guy by the name of Frank Howard who played for the Washington Senators?
Yeah, he was a big, like 6'8" guy.
Yeah, exactly. He was huge.
I don't remember that much about him, but I know that who he is.
Gotcha. I was dehydrated, old grasshopper. I was about 5 years old. Anyway, Big Frank is down on first base, Frank Howard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do you mind if I do a real quick, quick pitch?
I'll do a what?
Not a quick pitch. Tell you about the ball game.
Oh, go ahead.
Real quick. Okay, so Frank was on first. That's 6'8", 300 pounds, let's say Frank was.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, ball hitting the gap. Frank, goes to second. Frank goes to third. Here comes the ball. Ball's starting to come in. And Frank heads home. There's a reason why they used to call home plate Dusty, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was a little kid. And, I was at the game, and there was dust everywhere. Frank came home and slid. And there was a big thing of dust everywhere, and the ball popped out. Frank was safe, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Where are you going with this, Todd?
No, that was for Frank. Frank Howard.
Oh, you were just doing a little play-by-play on Frank Robinson at the plate?
No, oh, I love Frank Robinson.
I mean, Frank Howard. I'm sorry, Frank Howard. Howard. Yeah. Yeah, what?
I'm in the game, bro. Give me a question.
All right. Here we go, Todd.
I'm ready.
We got the show Lost, the fifth seed, versus the 13th seed, upset winner in the first round, St. Elsewhere.
It lost definitely more of a loss guy than I am at St. Elsewhere.
All right, you're going Lost.
Yes, sir.
All right, Todd. Here he is, the Toddster. Going with Lost over St. Elsewhere. You never know what you're going to get, folks. Play-by-play, Frank Howard coming around third.
You know, this is a terrible thing. Terrible. People are passing away. All that's terrible. But if you just want to talk about just entertainment, the callers' entertainment level has risen in the last 2 weeks exponentially. They are fantastic now. I don't know what's coming. It's the greatest.
They're being more creative.
That's what I mean. They're more entertaining than ever.
Yeah. They're definitely being more creative, more insightful. They're trying to be more descriptive.
Yeah.
That's what I got from Todd's call.
The callers are giving us more than ever. Even the caller yesterday that was crazy. At least he came with something.
You can threaten to put my head in a guillotine. I would have never thought we'd get a Frank Howard play-by-play. Oh.
Of course not.
All right. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, let's get an update. Twitter poll for today, Thursday. Today's date. 26th. I never remember numbers. I had to look at my phone.
Anyway. 65,000 day of 2020.
Yeah, it would have been opening day for the Fighting Phils. No opening day, no baseball, no basketball, no hockey. Football outside the lines. Natalie Yaganoff giving us an update on our Twitter poll today. Nat?
Yes.
Excuse me.
I didn't know if you had anything else to say.
I have something else to say.
That's what I thought.
It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
Aha.
Go ahead, Nat.
All right. Over 1,200 votes on today's poll. What bothers you more? 63% say no opening day. 37% say Alshon's still on roster. So people are still missing baseball.
Yeah. Well, I've come to grips with it. I know we're going to have a baseball season. I know it's going to be shortened. I think the shortened season actually is going to make it more compelling. So I'm okay with sacrificing opening day. I know opening day... It's like you pull back the curtain and you're hit with fresh air. I get it.
For sure. And the weather's nice. I will say, I'm never looking forward to the 44-degree day and the Phillies play a game at home, because they don't just do like the 2-week trip early like in Miami. They'll do one series, then they come home to play the Mets, and it's 46 degrees.
Did you just go wire on me?
What do you mean?
45-degree day?
Oh, I guess kind of, sort of, yeah.
Go wire on me.
A little bit, yeah.
All right.
But you know, like, that's not fun for me, sitting when it's cold like that. Like, yeah. I always think the Phillies and the Yankees and the Mets should all be on the road, either down south or the West Coast. We know the weather, by the time they start playing, it's going to be great weather. So at least there's that.
Yes. All right. Let's get back to the phones. By the way, Jay Wright will join us. Another man affected by this, because Villanova would have been trying to negotiate a run to another national title, and instead we got to wait another year where they're predicted to be the number one team in the nation. So we'll talk to Jay about that and what he's doing to pass the time. The little birdie told me he had a tennis tournament at his house today.
Oh,
with his kids. Like, everybody's in his house right now.
Yeah, yeah. Is that, didn't he put it up for sale? But I guess it's on hold.
Hold it back.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
It's pulled back right now.
Yeah.
Because the kids are living there.
Yeah. I wonder if he can still move.
Well, we're going to
change directions and everything.
We're going to ask him about his life right now.
Yeah.
Coming up at 5:30.
Looking forward to that.
Let's go to Steve in Lancaster. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, talking about this short season for the Phillies, I'm thinking this is going to be a good thing for the pitching staff. Arenado is strong. He'll pitch forever, but some of these other guys seem to fade later in the season. Hmm. So do you think less innings will probably benefit them?
That's an interesting way of looking at it. The problem is, like, how good of a start will they get off to? You know, without good pitchers will figure it out quicker than pitchers who need more innings. So you're talking about three guys in their staff that need innings and bullpen guys that needed innings to make a team. Like, right now, I don't know who they count on in the bullpen. So I guess you could look at it that way, that the fewer innings they have to pitch, maybe they're going to be more effective.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, a long season, they always seem to fade in the end. You know, even Hector had a great season, and then...
Well, he faded, and then he came back.
And he kind of faded a little bit.
Yeah, but then he came back after the fade.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can never tell with these relief pitchers. But starting pitchers, I mean, you make a decent case that a guy like Nola, who's not an overly big guy, it would benefit him a little bit. And Arrieta, as an older pitcher, might benefit him.
Right, right.
I don't know if it benefits 4 and 5, though.
Eflin.
Well, Eflin is 4. 5 would be, who knows? Who knows at 5? Yeah. Like, are they going to come back with Pavagina? Are they going to go Velasquez? Are they going to go Ranger Suarez? Who knows?
Okay. All right. Hey, I had a second question. Tuned in on Monday, had seen an interview with Aaron Hatcher.
Mm-hmm.
Great interview. I seen the picture on the screen there on the lower corner, and I thought that was Taron Hatcher's picture. is that true, or is that supposed to be Natalie?
That's Natalie. On the screen right now?
Yeah.
It says from this.
Who are you?
Taron Hatcher.
No, that's a caricature of Nat.
Okay. Well, Taron's pretty close to that, too.
I don't know about that. I think that's a pretty good likeness in that.
All right.
Yeah, no,
I thought that would be a good Twitter poll.
Oh, would you like a game?
I would say no.
Would you like a game, bro?
Sure.
All right. So the 11th seed is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Versus the 3 seed, Game of Thrones.
Oh, man. I didn't watch much of either one of those. Let's just go with the 3 seed, Game of Thrones.
Oh, Game of Thrones is the right call there. Yeah, you got the right answer. The method wasn't. Yeah,
I think it's the wrong answer.
No.
Buffy's a better show than Game of Thrones.
Come on, dude.
Buffy was a better show than Game of Thrones.
You're killing me.
It was.
You're absolutely killing me.
I'm not. Did you never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I watched Buffy a couple of times. There's no way that Buffy has the depth that Game of Thrones has.
More.
No, it's like saying Goodfellas is better than Godfather. You got to look at the depth.
Whoa.
There's depth in shows. Game of Thrones
way
has
too much respect
monstrous
to Game of Thrones.
Monstrous depth. You might not have liked it, but the depth, the pageantry, the costuming, the music, the acting. Are you kidding me?
The costuming, the of Buffy, and they actually pumped out more episodes over a longer period. Sarah Michelle Gellar was fantastic on that show. Angel did a fantastic David Boreanaz.
You're playing me, right?
No. I think Buffy's a better show. I'm not saying a challenge. I think Buffy was a better show, top to bottom, than Game of Thrones. I honestly do.
Natalie.
Riveting.
Natalie.
Yeah.
You agree with this?
Yeah.
Buffy was very good.
Buffy was excellent.
I'm sure it was a good show.
She was in high school. Fighting vampires.
The awards Game of Thrones won over the years. What are you kidding?
A lot of costume awards, cinematography, bigger budget because they shortened seasons.
Well, that means something.
Shorter season. If Buffy only had 12 episodes, they would do 26 full episodes. You got to spread that budget out.
I want to see the Twitter reaction to that comment. To the Boatius.
I'm kidding.
The Boatius.
Yeah.
Let's go, Jeff and Candy. He's back. All right, Jeff. Here we go. Now, Jeff, Tyrone just said something that's kind of akin to what you said yesterday.
What's that?
Well, he said Buffy's better than Game of Thrones. And you were saying that my man, Shake Milton, was better than Ben Simmons.
Right. So Ben Simmons is the better athlete. He's a much better athlete. I mean, he's an amazing, amazing athlete. You might not see a better athlete than Ben Simmons. What I was saying that Shake Milton was a more consistent scorer. He's a better shooter. But, I mean, in the fourth quarter, right, in the playoffs, any of a free throw, who are you putting on the line at your point as your point guard? Shake Milton or Ben Simmons?
I'm done commenting with you.
Okay.
I'm done. I thought you were calling to apologize.
I am.
But you're continuing the narrative.
Now,
Shake Milton has had about a half an hour worth of success in this league. And you're talking about the other guy talking about an all-star player who just hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, Jeff. I can't. You give me.
No, I apologize. You
give me a heart condition. You didn't apologize. You came and increased the narrative.
Well, you know, coronavirus is a serious thing. I haven't tested positive for it, but fortunately.
Jeff, you sound like a character, man.
I'm not, man.
No, you sound in a good way. You sound like a character.
Here's a joke for you, Mike.
Uh-huh.
What did the nail say to the dart?
What did the what?
What did the nail say to the dart?
What did the male say to the dart?
No, the nail. What did the nail say to the dart?
I can't hear what the first word is.
The nail. The nail.
The nail. The
nail. Like you nail a the nail.
The nail as the one you hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What did the nail say to the duck?
The dart.
The dark?
Dart, like a dartboard.
Oh, what did the nail say to the dart?
Yeah.
Okay, what?
What's the point?
Oh, Tyrone, what is going on today? It says, Jeff Camden calling to apologize. He went further.
He did. So I was reading a disturbing...
What are you reading?
A disturbing company email. Sorry, that's my fault.
Somebody sent you a...
Not sure, you got it too.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll look at it. We have a break. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 4:46. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5. The Fanatic. Going into the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk to Jay Red at 5:30, and we have one game left to set the Sweet 16. Let me ask you, Tyrone, should we stop it at the Sweet 16 and continue tomorrow?
Yes, wrap up on Friday. Yeah. I think.
Okay. Well, we'll see how this goes here. Let's go to Joe in Upper Darby. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Joe?
I'm a big fan of yours.
Thanks,
just
buddy.
To let you know. When the Phillies start back up, you think they're going to play the Marlins?
When they start back up, will they play the Marlins?
Yeah.
Like, will they start the schedule all over again? I don't know. I don't know what that first game will be like unless they just decide to resume the schedule where it is at that point. Okay. Or they start all, because, you know, people plan and they have their arenas open and for a certain time. So all these games are planned. I don't know if they can actually just redo the entire schedule.
Okay. I was just wondering, that's all.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
All right, buddy. Let's go to Maurice in West Oak Lane. Maurice, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Maurice.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Maurice?
Another day, another day. You know, another day, another day, man. Just on my way to work, usual. And, just kind of want to chime in on it a little bit. Mainly about, it was really going to be a basketball question, but I guess more of a thing, sports in general, as relates to the whole corona outcry. And it just seems like the best way forward of any league, whether it's the NBA or baseball, they might have to do a thing where they may just, I don't know, I'm thinking like they may have to do a thing where all the guys, all the teams play in like a bubble town or two.
Uh-huh.
Basically, isolate themselves, you know, with no fans, of course. It just seems like that would be the way they would have to go starting off, especially the NBA, just start off with no fans or whatever. And mainly from there, you know, play, you know, and then the players get regularly checked up and everything. It just seems like the natural way things have to go if you see any sports anytime soon.
So you're saying that the NBA and the NHL will resume, but without fans?
Yeah, it would have to be in a bubble. And also like a bubble town or city, like maybe pick a campus. Basically, a place that's not a hotbed for.
Let me ask you this, though. If it's unsafe for fans that would come in there, why would it not be safe for the unsafe for the players?
I'm going to tell you, it's safe for the fans, more so protect the players from the fans.
Yeah, but who protects the players? The players are, you know, they're hanging out with each other. So, like, where do you draw the line? Like, what's can you say, all right, 25 people in a building, that's safe? Can you actually say that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's why I'm saying everybody plays in a bubble. Like, having like a small Olympic village, except it's like a bunch of NBA players, no fans, maybe a couple of media folks here and there. But
I don't know. I don't know that they can resume this league without resuming real life. I really don't. Everything would fly in the face of protection if they tried to do that. It would make that more important than the whole outlook of the kind, because if they're not keeping fans and they're saying it's not safe for fans. So, like, if it's not safe, it's not safe. It just can't be safe because there's going to be 30 people in a production of a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm throwing ideas at the wall, man. We're going to see what sticks right here.
Yeah. All right. Would you like to end the Sweet 16 here on the upper right hand drama side in our field of 64?
Yes, I would.
All right. The 7 seed. A lot of people had some problems with this team actually even being in the tournament. Roots versus the number 2 seed, Mad Men.
I like Mad Men, but I'm also a big fan of Roots. Ooh. Wow. This is a hard one here. Oh, man. I might have to go.
Come on, man. Spit one out.
I have to go Roots.
You going Roots?
I have to go Roots.
All right, Roots over Mad Men. Now, a lot of people would have a problem with that because a lot of people did not think Roots belonged in the tournament.
What seed was Roots?
Roots was a 7 seed.
Yeah, nah, 7 beating a 2 is not.
Okay, so yeah. Roots survived. Roots making a run.
Roots making a run.
Roots making a run. Upset run. Roots beats Mad Men.
Well.
Monster upset.
Once it's in, the ball, you got to see how the game's
Roots beat a Cinderella.
Could Roots win the whole thing?
LeVar Burton.
Look at that. Forget a
making
rainbow.
A run.
Look at that.
All right. Larry and King of Prussia. Larry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Mike. Roots gets my vote, too.
All right. You got it.
I am missing baseball, and it makes me think of The Sandlot, the movie The Sandlot.
Uh-huh.
It's killing me, Smalls.
Well, over what?
Missing baseball, not having it.
Oh, not having baseball. I thought you were talking about the field. Listen, you gotta have one of these attitudes right now where things are shut down. There's nothing you can do about it. It's out of your control. And in the overall scope of what's going on right now, like, you know, baseball season not starting on time is pretty down on the priority list, don't you think?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's the way you got to look at it and go, all right, you just put it out of your mind. Like, right now, sports are out of your mind.
I think they'll catch up to it, though, playing some doubleheaders.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because players don't want to play doubleheaders. Yeah, the players don't care about getting in their games. You know, that's the owners that care about that. The players aren't going to play, like, in a collective bargaining agreement, they avoid doubleheaders like the plague. So they're not going to say, oh, let's play doubleheaders now and make up the season. They have no stake in that. You know what I'm saying?
Here's where I'm thinking it can be an advantage. I think there is some concerns about injuries, especially with pitchers. So I think a good idea would be to expand the rosters. Expand the rosters, play some doubleheaders. Some young kids get to play baseball they normally wouldn't.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good thing. I think they would have to do that. If they're starting the season and they haven't had the proper spring training and they're forcing guys, especially pitchers, they're going to have to expand the rosters because starting pitchers aren't going to go far in the game. So you need a lot of relief pitchers on your team. They probably have to add like at least four more relievers and get your team roster up to 30 players.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, but they'll cross that bridge when they get to it. You know, they're not even close to the bridge yet.
Can I ask you about the NBA real quick?
Sure.
Do you think they're going to start up again?
I have my doubts. I think this season is blown out. But we'll see what happens. They're talking about salvaging it, playing without crowds, that kind of thing. We'll see. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. Jay Wright at 5:30. Couple open lines. Good time to get in. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.